Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Earlier this past week, as I was beginning to pray about what today's message would be, God gave me a title, but that was kind of all He gave me for a while. So I'm thinking about it, praying about it, trying to get my thoughts together as to how today's message would be delivered. You know, I've heard a saying, and I may not have it exactly right the way that some people say it. Generally, they're talking about somebody, and it may be sometimes a little bit critical in the way they're talking about it, but they'll say, well, they sure talk a good talk, but do they walk the walk? Ever heard somebody say something like that about someone? And I think that's a question, really, that every professing Christian should ask themselves. Not only do we talk a good talk, but are we walking a good walk? And of course, in today's social media era, where you can find out just about anything by just about anybody by going online, I might rephrase that. We can post a good post, but are we walking a good walk? And I have seen people post in social media things that if you just went by some of their postings, you'd think, hey man, they're a Christian on fire for God. But then when you know the truth about them, though, and you know them maybe personally or something like that, you think, oh, this is a whole lot different than what I see in real life. And of course, we've all run into people down through our lifetimes, you know, that, like I say, they're talking a good talk and they make things sound good. But then when you begin to find out more about them, you find out, hey, not everything is what I say. There's another saying, talk is cheap. Heard that one, I'm sure. Talk is cheap. And a lot of people can say a lot of really nice things and a lot of good things. I had an acquaintance, I called him a friend back then. But there was a young man I knew back in my childhood. I tell you, he could tell you some really good stories. But I soon began to realize the vast majority of them weren't really true. If you just listened to what he had to say about himself, you would think that he was not only God's gift to women, which he tried to lead you to believe, but he was God's gift to everything, you know, and he was the best. Of course, as time went on and I got a little older, and I began to see through some of these things and realize it wasn't really what it was being talked about being. And sometimes, unfortunately, we run into people in church that are like that. If you listen to what they have to say, you would think, how did God ever get along without them? I mean, I just don't know how God managed to handle this world without this person before they came along, if you listen to them. But yet you begin to realize, as time goes on maybe, that things aren't really what they seem to be. You know, the world will judge you as a Christian, and the world does judge you as a Christian. They're going to judge you as a Christian harsher than they're going to judge people that are out committing all kinds of various wrongs and sins and even crimes sometimes. Well, just recently in the media, somebody decided or declared really that Christians were more dangerous than ISIS. I mean, I haven't seen a Christian running around cutting somebody's head off lately. I have seen a few Christians praying for people and asking God to help people, helping people out. So I don't know. I guess that's maybe dangerous in some people's mind. But people will judge you not by what you say, but by what you do as a Christian. You know, there's another saying that you may be the only Bible some people will read. There are people in this world today that have maybe never picked up a Bible. Oh, they've heard of it, but they've never bothered to pick it up. They're too busy to sit down and read it. They're too busy and they've got too many other things going on to have anything to do with that. But they will be quick to judge you as a Christian by what they see you do and how you handle yourselves. And sometimes as a Christian, if you're walking the walk, you will find that sometimes things may be a little bit tougher for you in certain situations because the enemy of your soul, Satan, he knows what you are, and you're his enemy, just as he is your enemy. And sometimes if you are walking the walk and you are trying to be a good Christian, a good child of God, a good servant of God, and as you begin to show this to people through your actions and your deeds, not so much what you have to say, but your actions and your deeds, sometimes they'll get upset with you. Sometimes they will come against you because your deeds and your actions are speaking louder than your words. And sometimes we maybe look around and we see people that they're doing good deeds, and we automatically begin to think better of them because we see them do good deeds. Because our actions speak louder than our words. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast of himself." And that's the kind of the sticky point right there, because we're saved by grace. We're saved by Jesus' atoning work that was done on the cross of Calvary. And I don't care how much we work, that will never get us into heaven. That's very true. Absolutely true. But we are also taught that when we are Christians, we are to do certain things for the cause of Christ. We are to have certain actions. And then the Apostle James begins to write then in James chapter 1, verse 1, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, salutation." Then skipping down to verse 21 here, because we don't have time for the whole chapter. And he says, "Wherefore lay apart." He's telling these people what to do now. These are the Christians he's writing to, the converts that he's writing to here. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of the maliciousness, and receive with meekness the word that is grafted in you, which is able to save your souls. And be ye doers of the word." What is the word he's talking about? For us today, the word is the Holy Bible. It's God's word to us today. That word is being given to the people at this time. The words are being written down here even. And he's saying, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." I've mentioned it to you a number of times of hearing someone say, "Well, once you're saved, you know, you're saved and you don't have to do anything. You know, you can sit in your rocking chair and rock your way into heaven then." But God expects a few things of it. He doesn't expect us to be lazy Christians. He doesn't expect us to be Christians who sit around and do nothing. Going on here, "Be ye doers the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any hear the word and do it not, he is likened to a man that beholdeth his natural face in a glass. For when he hath considered himself, he goeth his way, and forgetteth immediately what manner of one he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem religious, and refrain not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God, even the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their adversity, and to keep himself unspotted of the world. Now, there's a word in there, and I'm not even really 100% sure I pronounced it correctly here, superfluity. Maybe somebody else knows a better pronunciation of it there. It's a word we don't hear around much today. So I looked it up, and it says this word, a definition of this word is abundance. So if we go back here and we read this, find it here again. In verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and abundance of maliciousness. We're to lay aside these things. It goes on to talk about pure religion here. What is religion? What is religion? You ever talk, well, I'm a religious person. Do you ever watch some of these? And I know I pick on football a lot, so you football fans, don't get mad at me. I pick on it, okay? But you watch some of these football fans. They're giving, in some cases, a very good definition of religion because they practically worship the game. You know, it is their life. It's what they breathe. It's what they almost, you know, it's what feeds them sometimes, you know. It's everything to them. Religion, as it is in the dictionary, refers to any system of faith and worship, such as the religion of the Jews, of pagan nations, or as Christians. So it's a belief system. They believe in football. And they put their all into it. And it's saying here in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God, even the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their adversity, and to keep himself unspotted of the world. That's just a little bit of what you're to do. Because it is showing there, if we are really serving God, if we are really wrapped up in this belief system that we have. Now, you've heard me say before, and I still say it again, I'll remind you again, I have a relationship, and it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's what we as Christians should have. It's not just a religion. It's a relationship. Yes, it's a belief system, but it also includes a relationship, because you can believe in Jesus Christ and still be lost. There's a lot of people out there today that believe in Jesus Christ, and they're not going to make it. So believing alone is not the answer. It is the relationship, and you do not obtain that relationship until you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you become a child of God. And then you have that relationship. But as we believe in Jesus Christ, it says here that we will begin to do works. And I realize, and I want to stress this, I realize some people can do more than others can do. That's always the case with everything. Some people can do more than others. But the question is, are you doing what God has given you the ability, the qualification, or the position to do? That's the thing that God looks at. He's not looking at the quantity of the work. He's looking at the quality of the work. We go back to something I mentioned earlier, the little woman with the widow's mite that put her small amount into the offering there at the temple, and Jesus said she gave more than the rest of them. It was not the quantity, it was the quality, because she did the best she could do. God has never required more of us than what our ability to do is. Think about that. You are not required more than you have the ability to do. So how are we to walk as Christians? Well, first of all, we're to walk worthy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says that you would walk worthy of God who has called you unto His kingdom and glory. In ourselves, we're not worthy. We're not. Oh, I know as our life progressed and we went from being a baby and into childhood and later on into adulthood, our lives went different paths, and some we tried to follow the straight and narrow, and so to speak, and do what we thought was right. And to others, it was party time, have a good time, do whatever made us feel good. Things like that. But none of us in ourselves were worthy of what God did for us. It is God in us that makes us worthy. It is God that comes into us that makes us worthy. And as we walk then worthy of what God has done for us. Did you ever see somebody that obtained something, some kind of an award or reward or whatever, and they say, well, I'm not really worthy of this. You know, and they're of course trying to be humble, and in some cases, you know, they very much so are that way. But there are things that we in the natural get rewarded for sometimes when we really are not necessarily maybe worthy of it, because it's not necessarily all that we did on ourselves. Maybe we had the help of others. And as we walk our life in the service of God, in our relationship with Him, it is God that is dwelling in us and working through us that makes us worthy to be part of His kingdom. Because we in ourselves cannot do it. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousness, that's all of the right things that we could do, is as filthy rags. Our righteousness in itself will never get us into heaven. So we are to walk worthy, worthy of God who called us unto His kingdom and into His glory. And think about it. When you become a Christian and you are doing your best to serve God, you're called of God. You have a relationship with the King of the universe. I've met people in my lifetime that, you know, they like to let you know who they knew. You know, oh, I know so and so. And they could rattle off names of famous people they knew or whatever. You know, name droppers, that's what we call them, you know. Oh, yeah, well, my buddy so and so, you know, they maybe walked by them on the street one time in their life and now they're their buddy, you know. But people can do that, but that's not going to get them anywhere, really. And sometimes we as Christians maybe try to do a little name dropping ourselves and all of this, but it is none of this. It is God that is in us. It is what we are trying to do for God that makes us worth. It's not because we know a certain person. We go and stand before God and say, well, God, you know, Billy Graham and I, we were just like that. I'm putting words in God's mouth now, but He probably would say, yeah, so what? You know, it means nothing. It's not your relationship with some other person. It's your relationship with God that makes you worthy. It's your walk with God that makes you worthy. It's what you are doing for the kingdom of God that makes you worthy. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and please Him in all things, being fruitful in all good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. It says, being fruitful in all good works. And I know that's a tough one, because the Bible also tells us that some plant, some water, some reap. And sometimes we may be called to do good works and we don't necessarily see the results of it, because someone else is doing some watering down the road and someone else is doing some reaping down the road. But if we are doing what God speaks to our heart to do and gives us the ability to do, then we are fulfilling the calling of God. We're being worthy in what God has called us to do. We're to walk as His children. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." We are to walk as children of God. You see some people out there today and you look at them and you say, man, that person is the devil's child, you know. You can tell by their actions and the things that they do, how they're living. People should also be able to tell that we are God's child by how we act, what we do, what we say, the way we live our life. We should be that shining light, that beacon to a darkened world that is full of sin and full of degradation. It's getting deeper every day. We should still be that beacon, that light that's set on a hill that lets people know there is some hope. There is something to this religion, if that's what you want to call it, that we talk about, this relationship with God. Now, the devil's trying to destroy the credibility of Christians today and really trying to make us look foolish. And I think in the long run, if you read it, sometimes I read some of this stuff and I laugh because it's ridiculous. Some of the stuff that's done to try to make belief in God and a relationship with God look stupid, because they begin to look stupid. Because they come up with such fantastic things that, you know, how in the world could they even think that something like this could happen? Somebody was talking the other day about, well, if you're one of these people, you know, atheists or whatever you want to call them, you know, non-believers, where nothing combined with nothing times nothing equaled nothing plus nothing ended up in all the race, if we make it kind of shorter, ended up with what we have today. Nothing can't make anything other than nothing. Only God can make something out of nothing. I remember hearing a story about somebody who, and person who was challenging God basically and telling God that he could do some of the same things that God did, and that he could essentially create a man from the dirt, life from the dirt. And God says, okay, go to it. So the guy goes outside, gets a shovel, and starts to dig. And says, God says, hold on, hold on. That's my dirt. You've got to go get your own dirt. And that's the whole thing. That's just a story. But the whole thing is there. God created it all. And we have a relationship with Him. And we need to walk like we are in a relationship with the holiness and the magnitude and the power of God and all that God is. We need to walk that way. We're to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, then I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. One of the hard things sometimes about being a Christian is once we leave the church building, we got to go back out into that world. We have to live in the world, but we're told not to be of the world. And sometimes that's kind of tough because we've got the world throwing all kinds of stuff at you. Mary and I were just talking the other day about some of the things that are on television today and some of the language that's used on television. And even during what used to be time set aside for children's programming, and they had to be very careful as to what they put on and what was said and so on, it seems like anything goes. In fact, it seems like some of the children's programming is sometimes maybe a little bit worse than some of the adult programming. Because they're trying to get our kids, number one. And we were talking about, there was a program called Speed Racer, and I think we talked about this in Bible study the other night, that back in the 70s, they tried to get the program banned from television. It was too violent. It was nothing. It didn't have bad language. Yeah, there were races and there were car crashes. Not the violence that our kids are exposed to today on the Cartoon Network and the blasphemy that they're exposed to. So as Christians, when we leave the church building, we have to go back out and we have to walk in a world that's at enmity with us. It's battling against us. It's fighting us. It's trying to take us down. So we're to walk in the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God walking and working in us as we go out into that world. And it gets harder every day. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, "Howbeit when he is come, which is the Spirit of truth," now he's talking of the Holy Spirit here, the Comforter, "he will lead you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, had also told him, as I said, that "I'm going to send you another Comforter." He said, "I'm not going to be here walking with you physically on planet Earth for years to come. I've got to go back to my Father. But when I go back, I'm going to send you a Comforter, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to dwell with you, and he's going to be there until I come back again." It's been 2,000 years. Comforter's still here if we want him. We have to let him into our lives. He doesn't run up and slap you upside the head and say, "Okay, I'm here. Let me in." Because if you don't want him, he'll go away. Jesus hasn't come back yet, but he's coming soon. Been reading articles on that too recently. And some of them, again, I just sit there dumbfounded almost as I'm reading this. Because one guy wrote an article that appeared, the story appeared on Yahoo's homepage, and I forget which publication it was in. It may have been Huffington Post. I know one of them was anyway. When Jesus was teaching, he didn't really mean what there was written, what were the words that we got written down there. He didn't really mean that. Some of the stuff that the Jews believe, he didn't believe any of that stuff. He's teaching them something different here. And I thought, what in the world? What did they put in your coffee this morning before you wrote this? Oh, by the way, some of these people claim to be Christians. Other articles that have been on lately, getting essentially front page coverage in some of the social media about having to do with Christianity, trying to tear down what you and I believe, what is written in the Word of God. Oh, no, it's not like that. No. That's not what it meant. It's saying something different. He was saying something totally different. He was trying to show them how foolish they were. Well, got news for you. One day, we're going to find out who was foolish and who was not foolish. We need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. It's easy to say to somebody, well, I'm a Christian. But do we back it up? Or is it just words? Do we do our best to serve God? Do we do our best to be in the house of God when the doors are open? Do we do our best to do what God has called us to do? Are we doing our best to serve Him? Are we doing our best to walk with Him? Are we just talking a talk? And if you look at the church today, and I'm not just speaking of this congregation, I'm talking about literally thousands of congregations, you find that thing going on. There are people who are talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And churches are declining because people would rather talk the talk than walk the walk. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a member of First Church of the whatever in downtown Crispy City. Well, I got news for you. If you're that kind of Christian, you may be going to Crispy City. I got a head shuck on that one. Yeah. We need to do our best to serve God. And let me point this out here. You don't judge your best by what somebody else is doing. I want to tell you that. You do not judge your best by what somebody else is doing. Your best is doing what God speaks to you to do and leads you to do through the ability that He has given you to do. That's when you do your best. Father, I ask today, as we have delivered the words that I believe You have given me to say today, that would touch hearts not only here in this congregation. And Father, as it's shared via the internet and by CD, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives in other places. And Father, I believe You gave me this message for a purpose today, for a reason. And Father, I've done my best to deliver the word as You would have me to deliver it. And I just pray, Father, that You would take over from here. The Holy Spirit would speak to and deal with those that You have that need this word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.